Thank you, Jean. I appreciate that so much. Let's take a moment of prayer and prepare for our offering. This is an opportunity just to express to the Father our gratitude for His grace. Let us pray. Father, as we approach this portion of our service, we set aside this time. And Father, we ask you to receive this in the manner in which it's presented. It is a love offering. And we know that you always bless and multiply grace giving. So we thank you for the opportunity and ask you to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, back to our principles related to our faith. We left off with the fact that our safety net is God's will, which is perfect, beneficial. And so Paul understood this. Moses understood this. And if you recall it, Moses had the sea in front of him and Pharaoh's army behind him, but he was there by the will of God. And God had instructed him to take the people to this position. And so Moses followed, and he was exactly where he was supposed to be, in a heck of a predicament. But his attitude, stand still and watch the deliverance of the Lord. And so this gives me an idea, if I'm able to express doctrine through my faith to the circumstances of life, that God is honored and He is glorified. Paul, and I was reading in Acts 9, and the Lord told Ananias to go and lay hands on Saul of Tarsus, who was blind. And Ananias had heard about Paul and Saul, his reputation. And in 9:15, and the Lord said to Ananias, go, because this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and Jerusalem and their kings. And so I will show him how he must suffer for my name's sake. So, you know, people, listen, we're in a land of prosperity. So many of the people in this world do not have enough to eat. They're having some real serious problems. And so we have got to continue to pray for our country and those who lead the country. But right now we're under grace and prosperity all the way. And so I feel like that, you know, the USA is within God's will at this particular time frame in which we find ourselves. And also, you know, if we desire the will of God, simply means we're asking for Him to participate in our life. And we become occupied with Him. And our safety net is the fact that His will is going to be accomplished in your life. It doesn't mean He's going to dictate to you everything that you have. It indicates that you're simply walking by faith, believing that God's will is going to be done. And so when you have adversity, you know that He's got the solution, and you apply it through faith. And so it's the same with prosperity. If we're enjoying prosperity, we know that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. God's will is applied in three categories. First is His permissive will, and He will allow us to do certain things to learn by, to grow by. There is His perfect will, which is where we would like to be. That always brings honor to the Father. And then there is His overruling will. Sometimes He'll overrule what we want to do or our decisions, and it's more protective in nature. It's just like any parent trying to take care of their children. They'll let their children have permission sometimes to do something. Other times they'll overrule their decision because it's not good for them. So this is the way it is with the Father, but the overruling will of God presents the believer, or protects the believer from disaster, and it is preventive in nature. And the perfect, this is where God's will that results in Him being glorified. And so, example is Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers because of their arrogance. He rose from prison to prime minister. But in Genesis 59:19, when his brothers discovered who the prime minister was, that it was their brother, Joseph said to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." And this is the equation that we have to put on our Christian life. It's God's will in our life. And you may not know it, may not understand what He has for you, but the fact that you want His will, He becomes responsible then. And see, He is able to use you, so therefore you have doctrinal content in your mind running through your stream of consciousness, and you're making decisions from a doctrinal content. And you believe the Word of God, and that is an expression of your faith. And so, when you have prayer and communicate with God that you got this problem, you need His help, and so He may solve it for you, and then He may wait a while and say, "Look, you need this test. This is going to advance your growth, spiritual growth." And so faith can appropriate the grace of God. And whether it is received, His promise, overruling His perfect will or His permissive will. But just remember that the key is our safety net is the fact that my attitude is that I'm in the will of God. It's not what I'm doing, it's what I'm thinking and what I desire. And there's certain aspects we understand and know what His will is. His will is that we assemble, forsake not to assemble yourself together as the manner of some is. grow in grace and knowledge of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're all about, is simply learning the Word of God, because that's what we have to live by. That's where the power is. And when you have doctrine or promise, how do you think you were saved? You believe the Word of God, bingo, you were saved. And so now that we're living the Christian life, we have to execute that same principle. But see, getting saved didn't cost you anything. But you got a problem, and it's weighing pretty heavy on you. You got an investment. You're invested in this because you're looking for a solution. Can you imagine Pharaoh's army, and they're trapped, and Moses says, "Stand still and watch the deliverance of the Lord." And they all walked through the sea on dry land. And yet they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't appropriate what they had learned. They did not use their faith. And Joshua said, "Listen, Caleb and Joshua were the only two above 20 years of age that walked through the sea that went into the promised land. But they all understood and knew it was a promised land. 12 spies come back. Every one of them agreed. It's truly a land that flows with milk and honey. And God had prepared that blessing for them. And yet they wandered 40 years. Till a generation come up who could receive it. So, faith can only appropriate grace whether we are in His permissive will, overruling, or His perfect will. But the main thing is, I want you to understand, if you desire the will of God, you're in it. Whatever our circumstances may be. So, sin outside the will of God can only appropriate discipline. Even that, though, is designed for blessing. Matthew 12:3 indicates, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because He disciplines those that He loves, and He punishes those who He accepts as a son." So faith is going to appropriate grace. Disobedience is going to appropriate discipline. But we never lose the love of God. Whether it's by blessing or by discipline, we are under the love of God. And if we can just comprehend that, then this should motivate us to pursue His will. And when I say pursue, I'm talking about a desire to want His will accomplished in your life, whatever it is. Otherwise, we may lose a great blessing, an opportunity to honor Him and have Him to be glorified through your acceptance of His will. But the principle is, the Christian point of contact is the justice of God, not His love. We got His love. even now, regardless of what stage we may be in as a Christian. God loves us. And so our point of contact is adjusting to His justice, that He will do what He promised. And so we have so many promises in the Word of God that belong to us. And so obviously spiritual maturity is related to simply Bible doctrine, learning Bible doctrine. And that's how we grow spiritually. But I'm convinced that putting on muscle on our faith is simply using the Word of God. Day by day, just taking a promise, taking our attitude, and understand that we are simply using the Word of God. We're going to stand firm, not going to be shaken. We're going to stand firm in the faith, regardless if it's adversity or prosperity. That's not the issue. The human nature actually has desires, and they may be legitimate, they may be illegitimate, but that's part of the human nature. And it's the same concept in the first family. And you had Cain and Abel, and Cain, through arrogance, killed his brother. And so you want to talk about adversity, it begins with the first family. I wonder how the woman handled, the mama handled that. But the point is that our human nature has certain things we think are beneficial. And so we lean toward human viewpoint to pursue happiness, to pursue a solution. And that is the natural tendency of our human nature. We will choose either empiricism or rationalism. And so we get back to volition. Volition can choose for faith. But you can see that faith is dependent on the promise and provision of God the Father. And so that brings us down to the point that you're here to honor Him, to glorify Him. And we have everything necessary we need to execute His plan. But volition is the key. Volition is where you decide that doctrine is important. You're going to learn doctrine and get as much as you can. You're going to decide whether you're going to faith rest or you're going to try to solve your own problems. And so I feel like that sometimes sin nature gets a bad rap, because I think volition becomes the key. It's human nature. The Lord walked by and He said, "Adam, why are you hiding?" He knew where he was. But see, Adam had disobeyed the Lord. What was his solution to cover his disobedience? He was trying to make some kind of clothes to cover his disobedience. See, he realized he was naked. Who told you were naked? See, in the garden, they were innocent. They didn't need clothes. But after the fall and disobedience, and I think the human nature rose up, and they were fearful. Do you think they understood new fear in the garden? No. They had no fear. They were in a perfect environment. They had a perfect relationship. But then after the fall, you see, the human nature begins to rise up and they develop a sin nature. But let me tell you something. Every sin that is committed requires a decision. David looked at Bathsheba, and he had to have her. He made a volitional decision. So sin is not present without volition. And it's something that we choose to do because of some motivation. We think it's going to produce something, and it's contrary to the Word of God, and it will not do what we think that it will produce. So this is a crucial point as far as trying to understand that if our desires are legitimate and we have a bona fide request, and if it's not met, see, that means that God is saying, you don't need this, it's not good for you. But if it's met, if it's within His will, and He says, yeah, you got it, nobody can take it away from you. Anything that's within God's will that you desire, He's going to provide. Even though we don't deserve it, it's grace. But that's His system, and that's the way He works. So people that are preaching the concept, well, give your life to Christ, and He's going to solve all your problems. You're going to ride off in the sunset and be happy the rest of your life. That's a lie. Let me tell you, the conflict's going to start when you become a Christian, especially if you begin to express your faith without the knowledge of God. See, all the faith in the world can't save you. There are a lot of people who have a religious system of faith, and they're prepared to do anything for it. But they're going to be in that crowd. The Lord said, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. There's only one way to be saved, and that's through faith alone in Christ alone. But see, that opens up a new ball game, and this is a ball game that we find ourselves in. It's trying to walk by faith and not by sight. And so I just encourage you to know that your faith being tested is going to cause and you to grow in faith, to put muscle on your faith. And what you can't handle now, God's not going to put more on us than we can handle. But when you exercise faith, and God confirms that faith that you've had, you're going to be able to handle something even greater than that. And that's the way that you're going to put some muscle and strength upon your faith. And the use of faith always glorifies the Father, because every time that you exercise faith, you give God an opportunity to be honored, to be glorified. And so keep that in your mind. So this principle emerges that the Lord's will becomes the believer's safety net. And this is kind of way, my own version of it, that regardless of what life has to offer, I still know that I'm in the will of God. I know that He's with me. He'll never leave me. And I believe that. I know that He is present at all times. And so I'm the subject, but His word and His promise is the object. But volition is tied to every decision that we make. And that's why it's so important to think doctrinally and make decisions based on doctrine. Now, volition is nothing more than self-determination. In other words, it's interesting if you think about it that God gave man free will. And he had to have free will in order to love him with all his heart and his mind. And we have volition, and we develop a love for God because we understand grace. We understand that we were bought with a price. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to him. We serve at his pleasure. And so I find that the Lord gave the man free will, knowing that he was going to choose the woman over his son. I mean, God understood the concept of volition, but you got to have free will to give something. The only thing that God has is what we give him, and you've given this morning of your time, of your attitude, of your concentration just to think about him and about his grace and what he's provided for us. He is the object. His word is the object. His promise is the object. We're the subject. We're the recipients of all the work that he has done on our behalf. And just keep in mind that you have a wonderful opportunity to honor him, to glorify him, simply by some of your decisions, trusting the word of God. And so we have so many opportunities to do that. Well, this shows the idea that walking by faith and not by sight is so important. And walking in the light is basically seeking God's will for your life. And walking in darkness is simply trying to use empiricism or rationalism. And it cannot provide what God offers. The only system of perception for the Word of God and the plan of God is faith. It's not what we can do for him, but what he can do through us as a believer. But always keep in mind that the Christian life is designed and has all things spiritually necessary to serve at his pleasure. Everything is available. It's just a matter of volition, learning what he's provided and learning how to use it. And you're going to use the Word of God through faith. That is the way that his Word is applied to the contingencies of life. So, without faith, you see, it is impossible to please God. And it's not a matter of trying to do something monumental or to be seen or heard. It's just a matter of a relationship that you have with the Father and what he chooses to do through you to bring honor to him. But people, that is a privilege. But we have to always keep in mind that the Christian life is designed and depends on things spiritually necessary to serve at his pleasure. And so Abraham had faith when there was no faith to be had. In Romans 4:19, without becoming weak in faith, he considered his own body now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And yet, without respect to the promise, or with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to do. And that's a level of faith. I hadn't reached that level, but I'd like to. I'd be happy just to get back to the faith of a child and just take it unequivocally. But so faith in Hebrews, and this is one of my favorite verses, faith or doctrine is the substance or title deed of those things that's hoped for. It is the evidence of things that we have not seen. And so often we have our desires that we don't know if they're going to be met or not, but you know you're in the will of God. And you know that his will is good, perfect, and beneficial. And so with that in mind, as a safety net, don't ever think that you didn't have enough faith, that you didn't get from God what you wanted because you didn't have enough faith or you didn't pray hard enough. That's ridiculous. That's not in the Word of God. And I can vouch for that because we have to look at the concept of how much faith did we have to be saved. Did you have a whole lot? Did you have a little bit? And so you see, we move to the Christian life, and there's solutions we may need, desires we may have. If they're legitimate, it's in God's will, you got it. If it's not in his will, he says you don't need it. And that's what a loving father does to take care of his children. And so we have to understand who we are. We're the subject. But God is the object, and his word is the object. And so we express to him our faith through doctrine. Yes, sir, I believe that. I really do. And I'm waiting an answer, whether it's yes or no. But it doesn't matter. Because what I desire is not going to override his will. And that's the human nature will rise up and say, well, you didn't pray hard enough. You don't believe hard enough. And that's not true. So never forget that your life as a Christian is never outside the will of God. You've got his love. If you desire his will, it's going to be accomplished. Because that's what he said. He said, trust me, and I'll show you things that you cannot imagine. And so, people, it's just a wonderful opportunity we have as a Christian to live today in peace and comfort and know whether it's prosperity or adversity. It doesn't matter. And he's still in charge, and he's in control of us as our Heavenly Father. And he's going to take care of it. And so therefore, he will be honored if we can stand firm and not doubt. Not doubt. But have that childlike faith that whether he says yes or no to our desire, to our solution that we may have to something that we want, It doesn't matter. That's his call. And it's what we need. And so I appreciate the opportunity to present this. This is just some of the thinking that I've had over the last period of time and opportunity to try to pull it together. But it's been good for me to understand and evaluate where I am in this system of faith and how much muscle do I have on my faith. Am I willing to go out and gather what manna I need, knowing that it's going to be there tomorrow, that he's going to provide our needs? There's no doubt about it. But until we exercise faith in him and use it, we're stagnant. We're not moving forward. Because let me tell you, the more you handle today, the greater you're going to handle tomorrow. And this is related to the strength of your faith, not necessarily spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is associated a great deal with our handling our responsibility. But our faith is associated with to where the object is, that he is going to provide just like he said he would. And we're trying to get to the faith as a little child. And this is the way we should look at our future. Going to be with him. Our eternal state. All of the things that the word has promised that await us. And we should be like a kid at Christmas, knowing that Santa's going to bring and give us what we have. We just had that faith at Christmas. We couldn't wait to get under, look under the tree and see